Cambridge Assessment International Education, Cambridge IGCSE English as a Second Language, Paper 2, Listening. Exercise 1. You will hear 8 short recordings. For each question, choose the correct answer, A, B, C, or D, and put a tick in the appropriate box. You will hear each recording twice. Question 1. What did the couple both like in the department store?
That new department store's great, isn't it? Might be a good place to look for a laptop.
My sister says she buys all her kids' clothes from there, and there are loads more of the latest novels than I'd expected too. I'll really enjoy reading this one I bought. Anyway, that tennis racket you got was a bargain. And my running shoes. Definitely the best place to go for that kind of stuff.
Yeah, they've got a fantastic range of equipment for every activity. I preferred that section to the book section, actually.
Right.
That new department store's great, isn't it? Might be a good place to look for a laptop.
My sister says she buys all her kids' clothes from there, and there are loads more of the latest novels than I'd expected too. I'll really enjoy reading this one I bought. Anyway, that tennis racket you got was a bargain. And my running shoes. Definitely the best place to go for that kind of stuff.
Yeah, they've got a fantastic range of equipment for every activity. I preferred that section to the book section, actually.
Right.
Question 2. Which photo is on the cover of the Man's Car magazine?
What's that you're reading? Your favourite car magazine?
Yeah, I've just bought it. Mainly because of the amazing photo on the front. They normally choose something like an expensive sports car, so this cover's unusual.
That vehicle looks ancient, but I'd love to drive it.
It's one of the first cars ever made. Certainly more of a challenge than your little family car.
Or even my big van, although that's so useful for work.
Well, maybe send a photo of it to the magazine. Could be the first van to appear on the cover.
What's that you're reading? Your favourite car magazine?
Yeah, I've just bought it. Mainly because of the amazing photo on the front. They normally choose something like an expensive sports car, so this cover's unusual.
That vehicle looks ancient, but I'd love to drive it.
It's one of the first cars ever made. Certainly more of a challenge than your little family car.
Or even my big van, although that's so useful for work.
Well, maybe send a photo of it to the magazine. Could be the first van to appear on the cover.
Question 3. Where does the girl suggest meeting her sister today?
Hi, Sarah. I'm so sorry. I've left college late. I've been so busy today. Anyway, I may not have time to get all the way to our favourite cafe as we arranged. So how about I see you on King's Bridge and we go for a walk? Then we can both relax a bit and have a chat. Hope you managed to get to the pool this morning. I'll join you there for a swim one of these days. Text me back when you get this voice message. Bye. Hi, Sarah. I'm so sorry. I've left college late. I've been so busy today. Anyway, I may not have time to get all the way to our favourite cafe as we arranged. So how about I see you on King's Bridge and we go for a walk? Then we can both relax a bit and have a chat. Hope you managed to get to the pool this morning. I'll join you there for a swim one of these days. Text me back when you get this voice message. Bye.
Question 4. Which view from her apartment does the woman like best?
How's your new apartment?
Great, thanks. I'm definitely on the best side of the building. Some apartments face the shopping mall, and at least I don't have that. In fact, all I can hear is the sound of children playing in a playground nearby. But looking out at the trees just outside the building is my favorite thing to do in the evenings, and they constantly change with the seasons.
And isn't there a square somewhere near you with a fountain and stuff?
There is, yeah. I sometimes walk there and relax after work if I have time.
How's your new apartment?
Great, thanks. I'm definitely on the best side of the building. Some apartments face the shopping mall, and at least I don't have that. In fact, all I can hear is the sound of children playing in a playground nearby. But looking out at the trees just outside the building is my favorite thing to do in the evenings, and they constantly change with the seasons.
And isn't there a square somewhere near you with a fountain and stuff?
There is, yeah. I sometimes walk there and relax after work if I have time.
Question 5. Which job would the man like to do?
Have you started looking for a job, Lee?
Yes. I've always fancied working for an airline or at the airport.
So could you train as a pilot?
That might be too hard. Although there are cabin crew jobs available, the selection process is tough, though.
That's not an issue, is it?
Well, I'd actually prefer something in the airport itself. I've always thought it must be exciting to check in passengers' bags, see where they're going.
I guess. Well, probably better than actually loading bags into the plane. That must be exhausting.
Absolutely.
Have you started looking for a job, Lee?
Yes. I've always fancied working for an airline or at the airport.
So could you train as a pilot?
That might be too hard. Although there are cabin crew jobs available, the selection process is tough, though.
That's not an issue, is it?
Well, I'd actually prefer something in the airport itself. I've always thought it must be exciting to check in passengers' bags, see where they're going.
I guess. Well, probably better than actually loading bags into the plane. That must be exhausting.
Absolutely.
Question 6. What did the man forget to take with him?
Yusuf, it's Matt. I'm running late. I've had to go back home again. I packed my bag last night and put everything I needed in it, you know, cash, usual stuff, then realised on my way to the station that I'd left the front door key on the table. So had to run back and get it before my brother left the house. Anyway, all the documents for today's meeting are with me, and I picked up my ticket yesterday, so no need to queue at the machine. Hopefully I'll be in time for the train. Yusuf, it's Matt. I'm running late. I've had to go back home again. I packed my bag last night and put everything I needed in it, you know, cash, usual stuff, then realised on my way to the station that I'd left the front door key on the table. So had to run back and get it before my brother left the house. Anyway, all the documents for today's meeting are with me, and I picked up my ticket yesterday, so no need to queue at the machine. Hopefully I'll be in time for the train.
Question 7. Where do the couple decide to go for their holiday?
Where do you fancy for our holiday this year? Maybe we need a change from the beach.
Well, our travel agency is selling city breaks. Or we could do an activity holiday, a bit of climbing. Up in the mountains?
Sounds rather tiring. I wouldn't mind just spending a few days in the countryside, to be honest. I really need a rest. A city break would be nice, but I'm not sure it'd provide that.
I know what you mean. Okay, your idea sounds perfect. And we'll save the beach for when the weather improves.
Where do you fancy for our holiday this year? Maybe we need a change from the beach.
Well, our travel agency is selling city breaks. Or we could do an activity holiday. A bit of climbing, up in the mountains?
Sounds rather tiring. I wouldn't mind just spending a few days in the countryside, to be honest. I really need a rest. A city break would be nice, but I'm not sure it'd provide that.
I know what you mean. Okay, your idea sounds perfect. And we'll save the beach for when the weather improves.
Question 8. What did the girl give her mother as a birthday present?
I didn't know what to give my mom for her birthday. She was so helpful when I started college, so a bunch of flowers didn't seem special enough. I was hoping to give her a painting of some flowers that I did, but I wasn't happy with it. Then I remembered that she's always out in the yard in the cold, so a scarf with flowers on it seemed perfect. But all I could find was a hat, so I had to be content with that. And actually, she loved the flowers on it. I didn't know what to give my mom for her birthday. She was so helpful when I started college, so a bunch of flowers didn't seem special enough. I was hoping to give her a painting of some flowers that I did, but I wasn't happy with it. Then I remembered that she's always out in the yard in the cold, so a scarf with flowers on it seemed perfect. But all I could find was a hat, so I had to be content with that. And actually, she loved the flowers on it.
That is the end of exercise 1. Now turn to exercise 2. Exercise 2. You will hear 5 short recordings. For each question, choose the correct answer, A, B, or C, and put a tick in the appropriate box. You will hear each recording twice. You will hear 2 friends discussing a new display of underwater sculptures. Now look at questions 9 and 10.
Did you see that documentary about those new underwater sculptures? I really feel people should just leave places like the bottom of the sea to the creatures that live there. And I wonder whether the sculptures are strong enough to cope with rough conditions. Bit of a waste otherwise. Anyway, it seems a few divers have already been down to see the sculptures. The site's proving very popular.
I'd love to see the sculptures. I mean, those sea creatures may eventually make their homes on them. Hopefully they will. But the lovely thing is, the sculptures were made to look like scientists who worked in the area. So I'd like to think they'll be there for years to come.
Did you see that documentary about those new underwater sculptures? I really feel people should just leave places like the bottom of the sea to the creatures that live there. And I wonder whether the sculptures are strong enough to cope with rough conditions. Bit of a waste otherwise. Anyway, it seems a few divers have already been down to see the sculptures. The site's proving very popular.
I'd love to see the sculptures. I mean, those sea creatures may eventually make their homes on them. Hopefully they will. But the lovely thing is, the sculptures were made to look like scientists who worked in the area. So I'd like to think they'll be there for years to come.
You will hear 2 work colleagues talking about their problems with sleeping. Now look at questions 11 and 12.
You look tired this morning.
I am. The thing is, the last few evenings I've been falling asleep on the sofa. Then I wake up really late and go to bed, but I can't fall asleep again. And before I know it, the birds are singing outside. It happened before when I had work worries, but that's not the case now. Anyway, however much I try, I can't go to bed early. My sofa's so comfortable.
To help me sleep, I tried listening to classical or folk music in bed, but that just seemed to wake me up. What worked was listening to audiobooks, short stories mainly, far more effective than news broadcasts.
Ah, interesting.
You look tired this morning.
I am. The thing is, the last few evenings I've been falling asleep on the sofa. Then I wake up really late and go to bed, but I can't fall asleep again. And before I know it, the birds are singing outside. It happened before when I had work worries, but that's not the case now. Anyway, however much I try, I can't go to bed early. My sofa's so comfortable.
To help me sleep, I tried listening to classical or folk music in bed, but that just seemed to wake me up. What worked was listening to audiobooks, short stories mainly, far more effective than news broadcasts.
Ah, interesting.
You will hear a man talking about his recent visit to the coast. Now look at questions 13 and 14.
I recently spent a weekend exploring my country's east coast. The village names sounded 19th century, although the places themselves were actually very developed. As I was preparing to leave, I wasn't entirely sure I'd enjoy it, though. I live in a lively town, so I wondered whether being somewhere with nothing going on would be difficult. Anyway, the forecast wasn't bad, occasional rain but reasonable temperatures. When I arrived, the towns I passed through seemed quite big, as I thought they would be, and the coast certainly attracted plenty of people. But what I really didn't expect was the vast, wonderful beaches stretching for miles in either direction, giving a fantastic feeling of space. I recently spent a weekend exploring my country's east coast. The village names sounded 19th century, although the places themselves were actually very developed. As I was preparing to leave, I wasn't entirely sure I'd enjoy it, though. I live in a lively town, so I wondered whether being somewhere with nothing going on would be difficult. Anyway, the forecast wasn't bad, occasional rain but reasonable temperatures. When I arrived, the towns I passed through seemed quite big, as I thought they would be. And the coast certainly attracted plenty of people. But what I really didn't expect was the vast, wonderful beaches stretching for miles in either direction, giving a fantastic feeling of space.
You will hear two friends talking about clothes. Now look at questions 15 and 16.
Look what I found on a stall in the market. The one selling secondhand clothes? It's a jacket by a famous designer.
Wow, that might be worth a ton of money.
Well, I don't care about that. The key thing is, it's identical to a green jacket I used to have. I think I left it somewhere and never saw it again.
Oh, I've lost clothes when people borrowed them and then didn't give them back. It's only happened once or twice, but in each case they were quite special things, so it was awful to lose them. But I still feel awkward about even mentioning the clothes to them.
I know what you mean. Look what I found on a stall in the market. The one selling secondhand clothes? It's a jacket by a famous designer.
Wow, that might be worth a ton of money.
Well, I don't care about that. The key thing is, it's identical to a green jacket I used to have. I think I left it somewhere and never saw it again.
Oh, I've lost clothes when people borrowed them and then didn't give them back. It's only happened once or twice, but in each case they were quite special things, so it was awful to lose them. But I still feel awkward about even mentioning the clothes to them.
I know what you mean.
You will hear a woman talking about taking part in a charity walk. Now look at questions 17 and 18.
I did a charity walk last weekend. I'm a keen walker, although this was further than I usually attempt, but I was reasonably confident. I'd tried to persuade some people to join me, but they couldn't make it. Anyway, it honestly didn't matter. My real concern was the weather and what clothing I'd need, but I did get that right. On the walk, we passed through beautiful parts of my local area that I was unfamiliar with, so I've decided to get to know it better. And I was carrying a map, just as the guide accompanying us had suggested. So when we lost the phone signal, I was able to find the way using the map without the guide's help. I did a charity walk last weekend. I'm a keen walker, although this was further than I usually attempt, but I was reasonably confident. I'd tried to persuade some people to join me, but they couldn't make it. Anyway, it honestly didn't matter. My real concern was the weather and what clothing I'd need, but I did get that right. On the walk, we passed through beautiful parts of my local area that I was unfamiliar with, so I've decided to get to know it better. And I was carrying a map, just as the guide accompanying us had suggested. So when we lost the phone signal, I was able to find the way using the map without the guide's help.
That is the end of exercise 2. Now turn to exercise 3. Exercise 3. You will hear John Marconi, who is an expert on insects, giving a talk about bees. For each question, choose the correct answer, A, B, or C, and put a tick in the appropriate box. You will hear the talk twice. Now look at questions 19 to 26.
Hello, I'm John Marconi, and I'm an expert on insects, especially bees. Now, many people ask me about the best places to see bees, and people often set off across fields hoping to see them. But I've found you're actually more likely to spot them in a lively town. They may be happier there than in areas with lots of trees, like forests. I spend lots of time watching bees around my area. And for me, nothing beats observing them on wildflowers when they're resting in the sun, like we might during a tiring day. Then they'll start flying around before landing on another flower and feeding on it. I get nice photos of them then. I also record data about bees, such as how many I see, although information about where they are is what's really useful to me, because I can check what kind of environment's attracting them. And I'll try to note down what type of bee they are, although sometimes identifying them is hard, despite my expertise. So, how many different types of bees are there in Britain where I live? Well, some information sources suggest 250 at the moment, although I'd estimate the figure is more like 270. I recently heard one monitoring group had identified only 100 types. I'd be worried if that was true. I'm also concerned about how different types of bees are surviving at the moment. The ones we call solitary bees, which don't live in groups, are doing quite well, we think. And honeybees are mostly managed by beekeepers, so they're looked after. For bumblebees, it's different. They live in nests, but don't tend to go far for their food. So it's hard for them when a nearby food source disappears. I also have volunteers helping me. They do great work, raising money for conservation projects, although their most vital contribution is keeping our databases up to date. A time-consuming job. And they may also notice any declines in numbers, which they'll report. So, what's the main aim of my work? Well, many people love how beautiful bees are, and they've realized bees are important. But I'm encouraging people to learn about how they live. So I've set up a website and give talks locally for this purpose. But it'd be unfair of me to expect everyone to actively look after bees. We're all so busy. However, people often ask me how they can help bees. Well, one really useful thing is planting wild flowers. There are lots more along the sides of our roads now, and that's brilliant. But people without gardens often think they can't help. Well, actually, all you need is a pot of flowers growing on a balcony. That'll attract loads of bees. So we can all help.
Now you will hear the talk again.
Hello, I'm John Marconi, and I'm an expert on insects, especially bees. Now, many people ask me about the best places to see bees, and people often set off across fields hoping to see them. But I've found you're actually more likely to spot them in a lively town. They may be happier there than in areas with lots of trees, like forests. I spend lots of time watching bees around my area. And for me, nothing beats observing them on wild flowers, when they're resting in the sun, like we might during a tiring day. Then they'll start flying around before landing on another flower and feeding on it. I get nice photos of them then. I also record data about bees, such as how many I see, although information about where they are is what's really useful to me, because I can check what kind of environment's attracting them. And I'll try to note down what type of bee they are, although sometimes identifying them is hard, despite my expertise. So, how many different types of bees are there in Britain where I live? Well, some information sources suggest 250 at the moment, although I'd estimate the figure is more like 270. I recently heard one monitoring group had identified only 100 types. I'd be worried if that was true. I'm also concerned about how different types of bees are surviving at the moment. The ones we call solitary bees, which don't live in groups, are doing quite well, we think. And honeybees are mostly managed by beekeepers, so they're looked after. For bumblebees, it's different. They live in nests, but don't tend to go far for their food. So it's hard for them when a nearby food source disappears. I also have volunteers helping me. They do great work, raising money for conservation projects, although their most vital contribution is keeping our databases up to date. A time-consuming job. And they may also notice any declines in numbers, which they'll report. So, what's the main aim of my work? Well, many people love how beautiful bees are, and they've realized bees are important. But I'm encouraging people to learn about how they live. So I've set up a website and give talks locally for this purpose. But it'd be unfair of me to expect everyone to actively look after bees. We're all so busy. However, people often ask me how they can help bees. Well, one really useful thing is planting wild flowers. There are lots more along the sides of our roads now, and that's brilliant. But people without gardens often think they can't help. Well, actually, all you need is a pot of flowers growing on a balcony. That'll attract loads of bees. So we can all help.
That is the end of exercise 3. Now turn to exercise 4. Exercise 4. You will hear 6 people talking about their favourite food. For questions 27 to 32, choose from the list A to H which idea each speaker expresses. Write the correct letter A to H on the answer line. Use each letter only once. There are 2 extra letters which you do not need to use. You will hear the recordings twice. Now read statements A to H. Speaker 1.
The food I most enjoy eating is pasta with cheese sauce, and there's never any problem finding what I need in the kitchen to make it. But if I'm too tired to do it properly, because it's easy to get it wrong, I'll pop out and pick some up from a nearby restaurant. It's weird, because I don't think I had it when I was younger, although my friends remember eating it all the time. But amazingly, that hasn't put them off.
Speaker 2.
When I get home after spending long hours with my students, I'm usually really hungry, so I love having a tuna sandwich. I always hope it'll give me the strength to do some marking, but actually, it often makes me sleepy. Still, it also makes me think of the weeks we used to spend away at the beach when I was a kid, as I'd always be given one for my lunch. I didn't really like it then, though.
Speaker 3.
My favorite food is leftover pizza cold from the fridge from the previous night's takeaway. It's much better than the ones I make with whatever's in the kitchen. And although people say it's not good for you, the pizzas I order are low fat with plenty of vegetables, so I reckon they're fine. Better than burger and fries. Anyway, whenever I'm on vacation with friends, we love discovering amazing pizza restaurants in the area. Luckily, you can find them everywhere.
Speaker 4.
I love baking, so there's always a cake at home. And I try to ensure what I make is good for me, although I don't always manage that. Too much sugar. And I just lose track of time when I'm making one, as they're sometimes complicated. So that affects what time I have left for homework, like assignments. But once I've completed all that writing and research, a slice of cake is exactly what I need to feel better.
Speaker 5.
When I'm hungry, my favourite thing to make is a veggie burger in a bun with cheese. But it's all quite time-consuming to put together, and I admit it isn't always as nice as you'd get from your local takeaway if I make it too quickly. And that's the view my college mates seem to take when I invite them round to eat. They even come equipped with their own food sometimes.
Speaker 6.
I'm usually good at carrying on working or studying when other people are complaining of exhaustion. There are occasions, though, when I need to eat to prepare myself, like when I go running. So the thing I always eat is my favourite food, a baked potato made at home or bought from a takeaway. My coach thinks it's not the ideal thing to eat before exercise, but actually it does keep me going and makes me feel much better.
Now you will hear the six speakers again. Speaker 1.
The food I most enjoy eating is pasta with cheese sauce, and there's never any problem finding what I need in the kitchen to make it. But if I'm too tired to do it properly, because it's easy to get it wrong, I'll pop out and pick some up from a nearby restaurant. It's weird, because I don't think I had it when I was younger, although my friends remember eating it all the time. But amazingly, that hasn't put them off.
Speaker 2.
When I get home after spending long hours with my students, I'm usually really hungry, so I love having a tuna sandwich. I always hope it'll give me the strength to do some marking, but actually, it often makes me sleepy. Still, it also makes me think of the weeks we used to spend away at the beach when I was a kid, as I'd always be given one for my lunch. I didn't really like it then, though.
Speaker 3.
My favorite food is leftover pizza cold from the fridge from the previous night's takeaway. It's much better than the ones I make with whatever's in the kitchen. And although people say it's not good for you, the pizzas I order are low fat with plenty of vegetables, so I reckon they're fine. Better than burger and fries. Anyway, whenever I'm on vacation with friends, we love discovering amazing pizza restaurants in the area. Luckily, you can find them everywhere.
Speaker 4.
I love baking, so there's always a cake at home. And I try to ensure what I make is good for me, although I don't always manage that. Too much sugar. And I just lose track of time when I'm making one, as they're sometimes complicated. So that affects what time I have left for homework, like assignments. But once I've completed all that writing and research, a slice of cake is exactly what I need to feel better.
Speaker 5.
When I'm hungry, my favourite thing to make is a veggie burger in a bun with cheese. But it's all quite time-consuming to put together, and I admit, it isn't always as nice as you'd get from your local takeaway if I make it too quickly. And that's the view my college mates seem to take when I invite them round to eat. They even come equipped with their own food sometimes.
Speaker 6.
I'm usually good at carrying on working or studying when other people are complaining of exhaustion. There are occasions, though, when I need to eat to prepare myself, like when I go running. So the thing I always eat is my favourite food, a baked potato made at home or bought from a takeaway. My coach thinks it's not the ideal thing to eat before exercise, but actually it does keep me going and makes me feel much better.
That is the end of exercise 4. Now turn to exercise 5. Exercise 5. You will hear an interview with a museum director called Karen Cheng talking about a painting of a woman which the museum recently sent abroad. For each question, choose the correct answer, A, B, or C, and put a tick in the appropriate box. You will hear the interview twice. Now look at questions 33 to 40.
Have you ever wondered how paintings travel to museums in different countries? Today, I'm in a museum in London with Karen Cheng, its director. She recently sent a painting of a woman thousands of miles to a museum in Canada. Karen, who's the woman in the painting?
Well, experts recently confirmed she was someone from a wealthy family, and she later set up this museum. There'd been various theories that she was someone responsible for many scientific discoveries that improved the lives of local people, or even that she was a princess from the royal court. So we're pleased to have settled that at last.
And why is the painting considered unique?
Well, it's not amongst the oldest in our collection, but the deep purples and golds in it are the most impressive I've seen. They really stand out, even from a distance. People visiting our collection claim they like it, but don't spend much time looking at it, actually.
And it's also a very valuable painting. Why's that?
Well, we believe the artist was well known when it was painted, although more for his rural scenes than his portraits. In fact, there's now a lot of demand for his work, but sadly, we don't think many of his paintings have survived. He might have destroyed them himself, and that's greatly increased their value, so we're lucky to have this one.
I'm sure. You had the painting cleaned recently and found something surprising.
Yes. Painting experts cleaned the surface of the painting. It's amazing how dirty paintings become over the years. Of course, we were expecting to have a closer look at things like the jewels on her dress, but what we hadn't expected to see was a figure sitting behind the woman in a rather ordinary-looking chair. We're still trying to find out who it is.
How did you and your staff feel when a museum in Canada asked if they could borrow the painting for an exhibition there?
Well, obviously it's a long way for a painting to travel. There's a risk it might go missing on the way, but we're very experienced at shipping items abroad, and it's never happened before. I must say, there were a few tears as the lorry left the museum for the airport. In the end, we had to accept it was necessary to share it with others.
So, how did your staff prepare the painting for its journey?
Well, the actual paint on the canvas had been examined months before, so we knew it was in good enough condition to travel. But there was concern that the painting might get shaken during the journey. So the day before, we attached an extra lining at the back so that wouldn't happen. The frame had been repaired some years previously and didn't seem too bad.
How did you get such a large painting down from the second floor and out of the building?
It had to be carried. Luckily, we had a large team of expert removal people, and the corridors didn't present too big a problem, but the stairs were another matter. The painting was such a weight, the team really struggled, and it was dangerously close to the low ceiling in places. But we got there in the end.
So how did you feel when you saw a video of the painting displayed in the Canadian exhibition?
Oh, it was obvious from the video that it was attracting lots of attention. So my team and I felt a great sense of satisfaction that we'd managed to make that happen. I'm unsure whether I would have displayed it in quite the place they'd chosen, but given that it was held up on the way, it might have been the only space left. Who knows?
Thanks, Karen.
Now you will hear the interview again.
Have you ever wondered how paintings travel to museums in different countries? Today, I'm in a museum in London with Karen Cheng, its director. She recently sent a painting of a woman thousands of miles to a museum in Canada. Karen, who's the woman in the painting?
Well, experts recently confirmed she was someone from a wealthy family, and she later set up this museum. There'd been various theories that she was someone responsible for many scientific discoveries that improved the lives of local people, or even that she was a princess from the royal court. So we're pleased to have settled that at last.
And why is the painting considered unique?
Well, it's not amongst the oldest in our collection, but the deep purples and golds in it are the most impressive I've seen. They really stand out, even from a distance. People visiting our collection claim they like it, but don't spend much time looking at it, actually.
And it's also a very valuable painting. Why's that?
Well, we believe the artist was well known when it was painted, although more for his rural scenes than his portraits. In fact, there's now a lot of demand for his work, but sadly, we don't think many of his paintings have survived. He might have destroyed them himself, and that's greatly increased their value, so we're lucky to have this one.
I'm sure. You had the painting cleaned recently and found something surprising.
Yes. Painting experts cleaned the surface of the painting. It's amazing how dirty paintings become over the years. Of course, we were expecting to have a closer look at things like the jewels on her dress, but what we hadn't expected to see was a figure sitting behind the woman in a rather ordinary-looking chair. We're still trying to find out who it is.
How did you and your staff feel when a museum in Canada asked if they could borrow the painting for an exhibition there?
Well, obviously it's a long way for a painting to travel. There's a risk it might go missing on the way. But we're very experienced at shipping items abroad, and it's never happened before. I must say, there were a few tears as the lorry left the museum for the airport. In the end, we had to accept it was necessary to share it with others.
So how did your staff prepare the painting for its journey?
Well, the actual paint on the canvas had been examined months before, so we knew it was in good enough condition to travel. But there was concern that the painting might get shaken during the journey. So the day before, we attached an extra lining at the back so that wouldn't happen. The frame had been repaired some years previously and didn't seem too bad.
How did you get such a large painting down from the second floor and out of the building?
It had to be carried. Luckily, we had a large team of expert removal people, and the corridors didn't present too big a problem, but the stairs were another matter. The painting was such a weight, the team really struggled, and it was dangerously close to the low ceiling in places. But we got there in the end.
So how did you feel when you saw a video of the painting displayed in the Canadian exhibition?
Oh, it was obvious from the video that it was attracting lots of attention. So my team and I felt a great sense of satisfaction that we'd managed to make that happen. I'm unsure whether I would have displayed it in quite the place they'd chosen, but given that it was held up on the way, it might have been the only space left. Who knows?
Thanks, Karen.
That is the end of exercise 5. You now have 6 minutes to copy your answers onto the separate answer sheet. I will remind you when there is 1 minute left. You have 1 more minute left. That is the end of the examination.